So the question was asked, who were the Kutim?
When the
Jews were living in the land of Israel during the period of the first temple, so the Assyrian Empire was expanding. And one of the ways that the Assyrian Empire would expand is that when they'd conquer a nation, they'd exile its people and bring another nation that they had conquered and settle them in that land, and they'd switch around the world. Wherever they conquered, they'd uproot that people and make them travel to a different land and settle down there. And this was a very wise action, because when you exile people and they come to a new land, it's so difficult for them to figure out how to populate that land and how to toil and make ends meet on that land. They don't have time to think how to rebel. And because this is a new land, so they have less of a tendency to want to protect it. This is a new land. They've come under this new land, there's more of a tendency that they'll be subservient to the Assyrian Empire. So that's this action of moving peoples from one land to another. This was the king of the Assyrian Empire who really held by this method of conquer and exile was Sanherib. And that's what our sages refer to in the Talmud as Ba Sanherib Vebilbel Es Olam. Along came Sanherib and made great confusion in the world, because he moved people from this land to that land, and after what he did, we can no longer identify who is a Moabite, who is an Ammonite, who is an Edomite, who is an Amalekite. We don't know. Now, when Sanherib managed to conquer much of the land of Israel and exiled the 10 tribes, so he brought people from different lands. One of them was Kavto. And the people who inhabited the land of Israel were the Kutim. Now, when the people entered the land of Israel, so they were serving their idols. And God sent wild animals into the land of Israel, and they started entering their cities and killing them. So the people sent word to Sanherib. They said, look, we're your loyal subjects. You brought us to this land of Israel. You have to send us some Jew to teach us the ways of the God of this land, because he obviously doesn't like what we're doing. So he sent word to a Kohen, and he sent a Kohen back to the land of Israel, one of the Jews that were exiled, and he told him, you have to teach them how to serve God. The God of this land, teach them how to serve the God of this land. So he taught them a little bit how to be Jews, and on the outside they would behave like Jews, and in their homes they'd hide their idol worship. And as time evolved, when the Jews came back to the land of Israel to build the second temple, these people who were situated around Shomron, they were known also as the Shomronim, they made great troubles for Ezra and the Jews that came back. And it reached a point where they wanted to disrupt the building of the temple, and they claimed they were the Jews. And Ezra had no choice but to excommunicate them. And Ezra gathered his great sages, and they put together 400 shofros, and together Ezra and his men excommunicated the Kutim. They banned them. Now, as time evolved and the Jewish population in the land of Israel flourished, so the Kutim remained a constant thorn in our thigh. And the Kutim refused to accept our oral tradition. They said, we know how to learn Torah better than you. They held they knew how to learn the Torah. Now, certain mitzvahs they kept, certain mitzvahs they didn't keep. For example, we have a tradition that when the Torah says you may not put a stumbling block before another person, before a blind person, so that doesn't only mean literally one may not cause another person to stumble, but it also means figuratively. The Torah meant you're not allowed to cause another Jew to sin. The Kutim didn't buy that. So a Kuti could sell a Jew non-kosher food, because a Jew says, I'm not allowed to cause another Jew to sin. The Kutim didn't buy that interpretation that we have on tradition. So we hold that's biblically prohibited. But they said that that's not the translation of the Torah. They wouldn't buy into our tradition. So we had a problem. The Kutim were quasi-Jewish. Here they were taking off Truma. But when they'd sell us food, they had no qualms about selling us food that they hadn't taken off Truma. So it was a problem. Kutim would make matzah for Pesach. Is that matzah kosher or not kosher? So the Gemara, one opinion in the Mishnah says that any mitzvah that the Kutim were careful about, They were even more careful than we were. But we had a period of a few hundred years where it was unclear where the Kutim stood. Had they adopted our tradition or had they not? Until at some point the rabbis went and verified, and they saw that the Kutim had hidden on top of Har Gerizim, they had a figure of a pigeon, and they were still serving idols, and the rabbis decided they're not Jews, and we have nothing to do with them. They're like any other non-Jew. Now, as time evolved, 1,000 years pass, and we don't know of Kutim today, right? They're a non-entity. But what happened was that, A, they're present in our tradition. They are discussed in the Mishnah. They are discussed in the Gemara. And B, when the censors didn't like what we wrote about non-Jews, they would change any reference to a non-Jew or to Edom or to Esav, and they'd write instead Kuti, being that the printing presses were controlled by the church, and the church had their man, the censor, who had to read through all of the texts and approve what was printed. Many times you'll read in Rashi and you'll read in many commentaries a reference to Kuti, or in some versions of the Shulchan Aruch, and they're not referring to a Kuti because they didn't exist in their times. They no longer existed. But the church forced us to write as though we were talking about the Kutim, or the rabbis knew that they couldn't get this manuscript printed if they said openly it was referring to a non-Jew. So they said, we're referring to the Kutim, that sect of Jews. Not really Jews, but referring to that sect. So you find a reference throughout the Rishonim to Kutim, and it doesn't really mean Kutim. And sometimes it's hard to discern what the reference, what it's referring to. Most of the time, when you read in a Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, throughout the Rishonim, Kutim, it's a reference to any non-Jew. In the Mishnah, so they still had Kutim, so there they referred to Kutim. So when Rashi over here refers to the Kuti, we have to check what Rashi's source is. Is Rashi quoting an ancient Medrash that really was referring to the Kuti? Or is Rashi just means when you have a beggar who's not Jewish and he feels like he doesn't stand the chance of getting charity? And he's wrong, because the halacha is that when a non-Jewish beggar comes collecting, you have to give him money because you don't want the non-Jews feeling any enmity from us. So they shouldn't feel like they're any different. So we do give charity. If a non-Jewish beggar comes collecting, he can't say, I'll give my money to the Jew and not to the non-Jew. We give him something as well. But he feels like he doesn't stand the chance when he's standing at your door. He doesn't know that he's going to get something. So he has to figure out this whole plot, how to get money. So he tells you this story. I didn't know which one Rashi meant, so I just skipped whether Rashi was referring to a Kuti or not. So Ari remembered that once when I quoted this Medrash previously, I mentioned there was a Kuti, so he caught me. So yeah, the Medrash does say Kuti.
You say that the Kutim don't exist anymore, but the description fits very much with the Samaritans.
So there is a place where, give me 1 second, I think I copied down this place.
There was a Mount Gerizim, like some Jewish customs, but not really Jewish, and came in the
give me 1 second. 1 second. I'll tell you, I have it over here. The Medrash Tanhuma says that this Medrash Tanhuma says like this: Hakutim lo nechshevu meshivim lashon ela miyeter chamisha goyim sheshava melech Ashur. The Kutim were not a great nation. They were not considered one of the 70 main nations of the world. They were from the remnant 5 nations that the Assyrian king conquered. Shneimar, the verse states, "Vayavo melech Ashur mibavel umikavta umeava." The king of Ashur brought from Babylon and from Kavta and from Ava and from Hamat and Sfarvayim, and he had these people live in the cities of Shomron. Rabbi Yossi says, Usif aleim arba v'nasu tisha. He brought another 4 nations, and together they became 9 nations, as in Ezra it enumerates 9 nations that were living when the Jews came back in the time of the Second Temple. Kshegalu Yisrael mishomron, when the Jews exiled from Shomron, from Samaria, Sharach Sancheriv Tavadav Voshivam Beshomron, La'alot Masna Malchut. So Sancheriv sent these servants to live in Shomron to collect taxes so that he makes money off of this land. Sharach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'en Arayot. God sent wild animals to attack these people. Shneimar, the verse states in Kings, Vayi b'tchilat shivtam sham, lo eru Hashem. Initially they were not God-fearing people. Vayishlach Hashem behem tarayot. God sent the wild animals against them. Shalchu v'amru lo, ha'goyim shariglita. They sent word to this king. And they said to him, you know, these people had a way of worshiping their God. Teach us how to serve his God. The God of this land sent wild animals against us. We're dying. So Sancheriv gathered the elders. So Sancheriv said, all the years you were living in Israel, you Jews didn't keep the Torah, and you didn't have problems with wild animals. What happened now? Why is your God suddenly so zealous now? Amru, nomar lo davar echad, lu yoshiv otanu la'artzenu. So they said to him, so the elders conspired a plot. They said, maybe we'll tell him an answer that'll get him to bring us back to the land of Israel. Amru lo, so they fabricated the following answer. They said, Sancheriv, haaretz enam kabel takum sheinosek betorah velo gmur. The land of Israel doesn't accept Gentiles who don't learn Torah and don't deal in mitzvahs. So they figured, what Gentile will be able to keep Torah and mitzvahs? Why would they want to keep our Torah? So they figured, we'll tell him this, so Sancheriv won't have a choice, he'll bring us back to inhabit the land of Israel. Amar lahen, Sancheriv didn't buy it. Sancheriv said, "Nu li shnai mikem sheyichu lisham veilamdu utam, v'dvar ha-melech en lashiv." Give me two elders, two representatives that will go and teach these Gentiles to keep the Torah, and once I decree this, you can't make me change my mind. Miyad shechu lisham et rav dostai b'rabi yanai v'et rav savaya. So they sent Rav Dostai, the son of Rav Yana, and Rav Savai, v'limdu tam b'chtav sefer Torah, notrikon uvuchim. They taught them the words of the Torah and notrikon, and they were crying. V'af al pi ken, and nonetheless, even though they were taught the Torah, et Hashem hayu yireim, they were fearing God, v'et Elohim hayu avdim. At the same time, they were serving their own gods. Ad sh'ala Ezra mi-Bavel, v'Zerubbabel v'Yoshua ben Yotzadak, v'etchilu bonim b'Eichal. Till Ezra and Zerubbabel and Yoshua ben Yotzadak came and started building the temple. As the verse states, that when they came, they started building the temple. At that time, the Shomronim came to fight them a war. You had 180,000 Shomronim attack. Says the Medrash, what do you mean Shomronim, Samarians? They were the Kutim. The ones who attacked them were the Kutim. Who was situated there when Ezra came back? How do we suddenly find Samarians? How do we find Shomronim? El al shem eyo Shomroniku Shomronim. But the Kutim, because they were situated around the city of Samaria, they were called Shomronim. And furthermore, they wanted to kill Nehemiah. They tried to plot a way of killing Nehemiah, and they were able to stop us from building the temple for 2 years. We had to deal with them. What did Ezra and Zerubbabel do? They gathered the Jews in the Heichal. They brought 300 Kohanim and 300 Shofros, I got the number wrong, and 300 Sifrei Torah and 300 young children who learned Torah, and they blew the shofar, and the Levim sang their special songs, and together they made a cherem. They excommunicated, and they put a shamta and a nidui, special spiritual excommunication on the Kutim with the secret of God's secret name, and they wrote it with the special writing that was written on the Luchos, and they made a cherem, an excommunication with the courts of above and the courts of the below, that no one would ever eat bread of the Kuti. They're going to treat the Kutim as non-Jews, and from then on, anyone that eats bread from the Kutim is like he's eating pig's meat. And they made a decree that no Kuti would become a ger. They would not allow a Kuti to join the Jewish people, and they would not allow them to join in Tchiyat HaMetim. So that's what the Medrash Tanhuma says about the Kutim.
Question?
Does that answer what you wanted about Shomronim?
Yes and no. But they still exist. I mean, you said you said that.
Okay, so I'm not sure they're the same ones. There's another place where the Rambam writes, just one second. The Rambam writes like this, that the Tzedukim, the Zman Hazeh, are like the Kutim that once existed. That's what the Rambam writes in Halacha. And Rabbi Ovadia Mibartanura writes that the Karoim are the Tzedukim, and they're called Karoim because they only went with the Torah. And there's another place, which I can't find right now, if I'm not mistaken, where it says that they're one and the same. I have to remember where it says that. They were much later, but it seems like they evolved into one another. Okay, they had similar philosophies, and it seems like they sort of evolved into one another, but this is my own understanding from different commentaries. I'm putting together a lot of different commentaries. We quoted a Rambam from Hilchos Avodim, Rabbi Avadim Bartnur on the Mishnah and Yadayim, the Medrash Tanhuma and Vayeshev. I'm not sure. I don't have enough clarity on where, how it evolved. But from the different sources, that's the feeling I get, that they seem to have evolved into one another. Having shared philosophies that were so similar, maybe the lines between them were unclear. But what seems to me more likely is that the Kutim disappeared, and Shomronim, so whatever remained of them, remained. Maybe some of the Kutim became Shomronim as time evolved, I don't know.